This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. We're going to mend it. Get on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus over there. Where are you, Mark?
New York City. Enjoying the beautiful weather in New York City.
So much breaking news, legal news. I don't even know where to start.
I know. It's kind of tough. It's a veritable cornucopia of stuff. Where do we start? Do we start with after last week's when we talked about the bank records and all the speculation on Twitter as to whether they're legal or illegal? You know, you'd wish that when people tweet that at least they'd listen to us talk first, because they tend to go off in harebrained directions. I think we were talking about Michael Avenatti obtaining some records, and somebody saying, "Well, he's going to get indicted if the PI got him illegally." And somebody else responded, "Well, you know, remember Pelicano?" And I would tell you, yes, if you remember Pelicano, there was only one lawyer who did any time on that. All the other lawyers skated with Pelicano. That's because you got to prove that the lawyer was in cahoots when the investigator got the records. By the way, he may have gotten the records through a subpoena, because you can do subpoenas of the government when you're in federal court.
It is so the interesting thing is the kind of shift from Russian collusion to Stormy Daniels. I saw an article in USA Today last week that said, and I'll paraphrase, they examined 3,500 pieces of like fake news planted by Russian operatives on, you know, Facebook and wherever else. And out of the 3,500, almost all of them were just racially insightful attempts at Black Lives Matter, you know, just ways to agitate one American against another. And a very small amount were Hillary or Trump. It was mainly stuff about just general race riots and agitations. Did you see that?
I did see that. In fact, it was... I think it was building on another article that I read that talked about the various sites, and they did a ranking of the sites by how much stuff was in there. I mean, it's clear that what they think they're doing in a democratic society is increase the, you know, divisions and polarization, and, you know, there's people who fall for that stuff and get in the middle of it.
Well, think about so. Only 100 out of the 3,500 had any link to Trump or Hillary. So,
yeah, I think I think what the thinking is, or the argument is, and I don't know that I agree or disagree, but I'll make the argument because I haven't really gone down this rabbit hole. The argument is that if you sow racial division, and then if one candidate is using kind of a dog whistle or ringing a bell or kind of subconscious themes, that appeals to the people who are fired up. So I just don't know. I don't know how you measure that. I always think of these things in terms of picking a jury, and what I've told you many, many times is that you're never going to turn somebody's opinion in a couple of weeks because they've got their opinions based on their life experiences. All you can do is make arguments that will get them to plug into your side that they think, you know, resonate with them. And so I think to some degree that's what the Russians were doing. I don't know that they think they were turning anybody. I mean, that's my analysis. I don't know. But I think that they think that maybe they were increasing the division, which would then get people fired up to get, then get people to vote, which, by the way, the rates of Americans voting is, you know, makes other democracies and even tyrannies look good.
Well, you know, so it's an interesting thing, which is, I was thinking about, well, first off, it just jumped in my head that Charles Manson was trying to start a race war with the whole Helter Skelter thing. So
right. People don't remember that.
His weird vision was he was going to kill some prominent white people, or I guess we're going to blame black people, and then we're going to start a race war, and then he was going to be king somehow. That was his thing. But you know what I was thinking about? It reminded me, in World War II, the Japanese couldn't make it to our mainland. Like, the Japanese couldn't bomb us. But they did,
right.
They did figure out that there was a jet stream that if they took these incendiary devices, these bombs, and they put them up in these weather balloons, that they would get up into this jet stream and it would be carried over our Pacific Northwest, and they would come down and they would burst into flames. And they thought that they could set off tremendous forest fires on our continent. The plan never really worked at all. But in their mind, if we were fighting these giant forest fires that were engulfing our nation, then obviously it would interrupt us in our war effort, or weaken us, or hurt us, or dilute it, or whatever it is. And I think the metaphor is like the Russians are like, look, we're not going to bowl them over with our military. It's antiquated, it's outdated, blah, blah, blah. But if we can get them fighting amongst each other, like literally trying to put out fires at Ferguson.
That's so brilliant. But press pause and I'll respond. You know why I'm going to press pause? Legal Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Attorneys are expensive. Gary, why does this thing say 300 an hour?
That has to be somewhere in the middle of the country.
We should have a contest for what you get for $300 an hour.
Mark will roll over in bed for 300 an hour.
But not get out of bed.
He won't get out of bed. He'll roll over once.
I'll roll over, exactly. I'll stop snoring. But that's one reason smart business owners turn to LegalZoom. 2 million-plus Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs, incorporations, and more. And I think this is probably a growing part of their business because this really is helpful for people. LegalZoom helps you after you set your business up. So if you go to them and you start an LLC or a corporation, then they've got lease agreements, NDAs, tax laws changes, which, by the way, are monumental, contract reviews. And what they did is they created this business legal plan, which is a brilliant idea, legal advice for your business from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in every state. You won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Just one low upfront price. Only cry once. Right, Gary?
That is right. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com now and get special savings when you enter doubt at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal, LegalZoom.com.
So the return of the metaphor.
Your theory,
yes.
Yeah, your theory is kind of straight out of Lao Tzu Art of War, which is kind of deflection and get you looking over here so that you're not looking over there and spreading you out. Kind of a divide and literally a divide and conquer theory.
Yeah, so I don't know if now what light this sheds on the Russian thing, and I don't know if the Democrats in general, and maybe if CNN and MSNBC are getting away from the Russian thing and in light of this and heading more toward campaign contributions and Stormy Daniels and God knows what else. Does that seem accurate to you?
I think they're focused on, and when I say you remember the special counsel, if you believe what's being leaked out there, special counsel started with Russian collusion. The Southern District of New York, which is a part of obviously the Department of Justice, is the one who's doing the Stormy Daniels and the Cohen raid and the Cohen investigation. And so those are going two separate tracks. The one that's gained the most traction, so to speak, has been the Southern District because for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is, cable news, whether whoever it is, loves the porn star and the president. But the area that I think we don't know enough about, and that is where I think the special counsel is dealing, is with the finances and the money and potential money laundering and things of that nature. Because it looks to me, by some of the stuff that has been leaked out by some of the people that they've added to the team, that they're talking about complex financial transactions. I mean, a couple of the lawyers and investigators who are on the special counsel's teams are cyber-based and financial transaction expertise. So that's, if you're going to read the tea leaves, that's where I would be. But, and which leads me back to Don Jr. and Jared.
Well, is there such a thing as doing business transactions with Russia without having it being just chock-a-block filled with stuff that's basically illegal? Like, first off, why are you even doing business with Russia if not to to take advantage of a whole bunch of stuff that you couldn't do here, right?
Right. Well, and remember, when the Soviet Union collapsed and all the oligarchs started privatizing what was before that state-run enterprises, and the same thing happened in most of the Soviet republics who were then no longer part, at least officially, with the Soviet Union, even though they were under the kind of protection of their military force, the oligarchs, there were huge transfers of wealth, and then they had to get that wealth out. And one of the ways they got their wealth out was through real estate and large purchases and funds and things of that nature. But you weren't, you know, people never know where they're going to put their money and how they're going to use it and what they're going to utilize. And we've been through, and mind you, all of this took place before the economic downturn in 2007 and 2008, when people who were in real estate, basically the credit spigot had turned off. And if you wanted any kind of credit, you had to go and kind of cut deals with the devil, so to speak, in order to get new funding and new liquidity and new capital. So, yeah, I think that's a long-winded but a kind of a historical explanation for why you would go to them. And you would have to know that the only people who had that kind of wealth were people who were either the oligarchs themselves or, you know, connected to the oligarchy or the oligarchs. I know that just from seeing what, you know, in the past 10 days, you've seen what's happened in Armenia, which obviously I followed with great joy. A bloodless revolution threw out the guys who they all accused of being for the last 20 years in Armenia as being connected to the oligarchs. And the opposition leader is now the prime minister, and they basically cleaned house. And it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm just assuming if you said any corporation or any rich individual had business goings on in Russia and we're going to look into it, I'd say, well, I bet you're going to find a bunch of shit that's illegal here because they're doing business with Russia. Like, I'm just assuming whatever it is you find would not work here. That's why you're doing it with Russia. I don't assume there's anybody who's done business with Russia where you're not going to find something. Now, then the question becomes, what are we talking about? Like, what is it? And unfortunately, we have a new sort of criteria now where we can just say whatever's anything all the time. I was watching, I was listening, I think, to Anderson Cooper talking to some senator who was deposing. He was going to vote against Trump's nomination for the Surgeon General or whatever. Who are the head of the whatever, the general? And he's like, this guy walked up and down the aisles of Air Force One and handed out Ambien. And Anderson Cooper's like, that's a prescription drug. He just handed them out. But these people, without a prescription, he just handed, my goodness. And I was like, really? That's what we're turning this into a crime? Like, you're crossing the dateline. He's handing out Ambien so people can fall asleep on the plane. The answer is thank you, and then go to bed. And we're treating it like, wait, this is a licensed physician handing out a prescription medication to people without a prescription? Mike, you've never seen Anderson Cooper more uptight. And I was like, does that sound like technically, probably illegal what he did, but if I was who amongst us hasn't sat next to a wife or somebody on the flight and they went, oh, here, take one of these and I'll see you in Paris. And you went, oh, thank you. Did we want that person arrested? It's a weird, we're living in a weird place now, right?
Well, and then did you, Gary, did you show Adam this new Kansas law that makes it a crime for police to have sex with people they pull over for traffic violations?
No, I discovered that while he was doing his show. But, yeah, Kansas has now made it illegal
to. Now, do you realize that there are 33 states where consensual sex between police and people in their custody isn't a crime?
Wow. Yeah. It's going to be a very small graduating class next year without this incentive.
Because I'm no longer going to go to the police academy if I can't have sex with the people I pull over.
Well, I got to tell you,
that's astonishing to me.
It's tough to be a cop these days. And now with this, like if you can't even have sex with somebody who jaywalked.
Then what has the world come to?
Why
would you be a cop?
Where's the incentive? I just assume these things are from a bygone era and they just end up on, nobody ever goes back and addresses them. Is that what happens with these laws?
It's hard to believe that 33 states have to take the affirmative action of saying that it's illegal for a cop to, but I guess, you know, maybe if the person is consensual and the person says, okay, this is what I want to do, it's not worth getting the extra points on my record, so I'm going to have sex,
It was funny. I remember one time one of the Juggy Dance Squad girls, when we were doing the man show, one of the very hot ones, said, sorry, I'm late, I got pulled over and I got a ticket on the way here. And I said, you got a ticket? And she said, yeah. And I said, Jesus Christ, what cop would write you a ticket? She was that hot. And she said, it was a female cop. And I went, oh. And I moved on. Yeah. Like, it was like, it all.
Well, nowadays, you could, well, I won't go there.
So
I'll leave that alone.
That
surprised me. Then the other big news this week is that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states can, on their own, allow for sports betting. They invalidated a law that would have purported to make it illegal, and I think it was Vegas was exempted and a couple of other states. I skimmed the opinion. The other states hadn't acted quickly enough, and so New Jersey got in the act, and New Jersey challenged it. New Jersey won.
Well,
I think because they felt like Vegas had sports betting, they didn't, and it was unfair. Why is Nevada accepted from this, and they aren't?
All right. Well, couple things. I feel with gambling the same way I felt about marijuana, the same way I felt about separate drinking fountains for races, same way I feel about gay marriage, which is eventually this shall come to pass, right? It's not really.
Basically the way I thought about cops having sex with whoever they pull over.
That's right. It's going to come to pass. It's just, look, people like gambling. They like betting on the Super Bowl. I wonder how come we never learned a lesson from Prohibition, which is people inherently like to gamble on a sporting event or a boxing match or whatever it is. They inherently like to have a cocktail while they're watching that sporting event. You can make it illegal and then drive the booze and the betting underground, in which case mafia types are going to get money. Or you can make it legal, regulate it, and tax it. What would you prefer? And I think the government says, I prefer no booze and no gambling. And I would say that's not on the table. The table is drive. What's on the table is drive it underground, get no tax revenues, and have all the worst people in the world getting all the money tax-free, or tax it and regulate it, and you guys get the money. And once we learn that lesson with prohibition, shouldn't we just sort of apply it to everything?
Well, it's, I couldn't agree more, because I just don't understand what the point is. I mean, can you explain to me what the point is?
What I don't, well, I'll tell you what I don't understand. Once you've legalized the lottery, once you advertise the lottery on TV in prime time, and once you've advertised that you're going to give that money, ironically, to the kids, if any, I've said this many times, if any school counselor ever said to one of their students, don't worry about studying, you just play the lottery, that guy would be fired, because that'd be the worst piece of school counseling ever put forth. So it's a horrible idea. But once we have something called the lottery, once the kids are going to get the proceeds, and once you can run these commercials on Saturday morning television, then all bets are off, pardon the pun, as to who gets to bet on what. Because we already have the stupidest form of betting that just punishes poor people.
And it's just, basically, in most states you can go, maybe this is California-centric, but if I'm in Palm Springs, I can drive 3 miles from the V, but less than that. I could probably walk to a casino that's as nice as a lot of casinos in Vegas on the Indian Reservation. If you're in Los Angeles downtown, you can drive down to, where is it?
Gardena. Gardena.
And you, right, at Gardena. I mean, literally within 15 or 20 minutes. So what? You don't want to bet on sports, although it's okay to do it when you're in Nevada, but somehow it's going to corrupt the universe if you do it in the other states, and it's just,
well,
it's like an awful lot of effort.
You're betting on horses, so number one, that's completely fine. Then they get into this sort of minutia retarda, which is, you can go to Gardena, but you can't play 21. You can't play against the house. You have to play against other players. You have to play Pai Gow poker, but you can't play blackjack. Oh, listen, the cards are out. My wallet's out. We're in Gardena. I got a highball. Can we just start the fucking gambling? We live in a crazed society, Mark Garagus, where it's like, you go to the strip club. What do? Oh, you hand the stripper $5. Oh, no, can't hand it to her. Set it on the edge of the stage, and then she'll pick it up. If you hand it to her, then that's illegal.
That's illegal. I know. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. But hold on. I've got one. I'm going to press pause again.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy John.
Yes.
Do you know that Tommy John's been around for 10 years of excellence?
They're
celebrating the 10 years. Did you know that?
I did not. I mean, I know because they're a sponsor, but I've been on them for about 5 or 6 years, as far as I can tell.
Speaking of five, they've sold over 5 million pairs, and more than 500,000 guys like you and me have switched. Tom Patterson, who was their fearless leader, was a normal guy frustrated by the fit and feel of his underwear, and he literally did something about it. They've got proprietary fabrics, innovative designs, legs that never ride up, the waistband never rolls down, impossible to get a wedgie, time-saving, horizontal, quick-draw fly. It's life-changing, all backed by
the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee.
Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Gary?
That is right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
So,
okay, now I want to ask you, Adam, one other story that caught my eye that I thought was kind of fun. Do you remember that Donald Trump Jr. and his wife Vanessa are going through a divorce?
Mm-hmm.
So then there was a story on page 6 in the New York Post about Vanessa having a relationship, God knows how many years ago, with some guy named Rivera, who was apparently a member of a gang. And so this story got a lot of play. Then the next thing that page 6 reports is that Gavin Newsom's ex-wife, remember her, Kimberly Guilfoyle?
Yeah, she's a commentator from Fox.
Yeah, she's on the 5, but I know Kimberly from the days that she was a deputy district attorney in Los Angeles and had just left the lingerie modeling career to become a deputy district attorney. And she was then an L.A. district attorney, then at San Francisco.
She has a lot of
attorney, and she did.
She has a lot of range, that woman.
Kimberly, absolutely. I mean, think about this career. Lingerie model, L.A. County District Attorney, then went up to San Francisco as a district attorney and prosecuted those lawyers who were charged with murder for the dog mauling. She got a conviction on that.
Oh, that's right. The dog
mauling.
Yeah,
remember that? That was Kimberly. And then she was married to Gavin Newsom. Then she divorced Gavin. And then she got married to somebody else and divorced. I think she's got kids and now apparently being squired around by Don DTJ.
Wow.
Trump Jr.
Well, yeah. The
question.
Yes.
Was that story leaked by Donald Trump Jr. because people were leaking or the story that Page Six had done about his soon-to-be ex-wife, Vanessa, banging around with a gang member? What's your read on human nature?
I will speak from the heart. And I realize I'm not cut out for show business because I don't have an ounce of this stuff in me. When I was famously misquoted by saying, Adam says women aren't funny, that's because somebody said to me at the end of an interview, who's funnier, men or women? And I said, men are funnier, but Kathy Griffin, I said at the time, or Sarah Silverman are funnier than any guy I went to high school with. And then that turned into Adam's not funny. And then later on, the accusation was Adam is just trying to trump up ink and hits because he's got a new book coming out and he's trying to get publicity. That's why he said this outrageous statement. Now, I have none of that in me. It makes me uncomfortable. I'd like to sell some books and do some podcasting and then go home. Not
you're a purist, in the and I mean that you're a purist.
I'm
kind of really. My father was that way.
In
a lot of ways. He was just did not believe that that was a road you traveled.
It just feels weird to me. So when I hear stories. And somebody says, oh, you don't think Kim Kardashian knew what she was doing with that bootleg porn she did with Ray J? And I'll go, what do you mean? And they go, she released it. She knew what she was doing. She has a publicist. She cut a deal with Vivid Video. I'm like, well, why would anyone do? You know, it's so embarrassing. That's an intimate video that you took on vacation with your boyfriend. You wouldn't want that getting out. And everyone goes, oh, please. She knew exactly what she was doing. And look how it's worked. And I'm like, no, nobody would do that. But now I'm starting to realize people would and do that. So,
oh, absolutely. Especially now, though. But is part of that just because it's speaking of wildfires, that the culture is on fire that way in terms of how it goes viral and people can instantly kind of leverage that? Or do you think that you just now are more accepting of it? What do you think?
I will tell you that I was in here talking to the campaign manager or one of the higher ups in Jeb Bush's campaign. And I'll think of his name. We did it for.
I remember that guy. Young guy. Tousled
yes.
hair.
We did it. Yes. Young and tousled hair. And yes. we did a take. I did a take a knee and you guys can check out Take a Knee and get all the archives and everything at AdamCarolla.com. But he was saying to me. When Trump was going after him, he was saying to me, Jeb just said, like, I'm not going there. Like, I'm not comfortable doing that or saying that. Like, I know that feeling of that's not me. I just feel uncomfortable saying it. And I think those people are getting run over by the Michael Avenettis of the world or the Kim Kardashians or the Donald Trump Jr.'s or Trump or whatever. It's like in a weird way, if you have a little bit of decorum and a little bit of like quiet humility, you're now going to be just get caught up in the tank treads of all these assholes that are just out that are completely soulless and fearless. Tim Miller was his name. And I do feel it. Like, I'm not saying my career is being ruined, but when I think, would another person do this on purpose? My instinct is like, no, why would you do that? It's hurtful or it's humiliating or whatever. And now I realize you'd be a fool not to.
Yeah, because in this day and age, you can't, there's no way to survive otherwise. Franklin.
Well, we used to have something called shame, and
right,
you would be shamed. In the town square, and you wouldn't be able to show your face out. You get a scarlet letter or whatever metaphor you want to use. And that prevented people from doing this. Now I see these guys, and they're making the rounds, and they're on TV, and they're on every night. And I feel embarrassed for them, and I feel like poor Jeb Bush. Like, I'd never go on there and say that. I feel like an idiot. But they don't have that. They don't have a gear where they feel ashamed, and thus I now put nothing beneath anyone, if that makes sense.
Well, and I will tell you that as one who oftentimes has to kind of swallow it and then get into the fray, it's almost, you almost can't do a high-profile case without somehow wading into it. I mean, it's just, it's almost, otherwise you become the victim. I mean, you know, Gloria is very good at this, and she's taught her daughter, Lisa, the same thing. Do the press conference and wail on whoever it might be. And you know, most people's inclination is, if they have that gene, is to slink away or to pay it off or do whatever you have to do.
I was talking to one of my attorneys, not you, Mark. I'm seeing other attorneys. I thought you should know.
Jesus, you're cheating on me on that in the legal field as well.
There's a law.
But it's okay. They're transactional guys. I'd rather sell oranges on the side of the freeway than do transactions.
I'll tell them that next time I see them at a party. So I've always had these guys, and I've used them, and Jimmy's used them, and Daniel, my other guy, the Mancho guys, and they work on the contracts, and they do this and that. Nice guys. And
right.
One of them was lamenting to me that he had rear-ended somebody and that he was going about 4 miles an hour. And there was no damage to his vehicle and little to no damage to the other vehicle. But that person had found a downtown attorney, and they're going after the insurance company for $2 million. And there was no damage to the car. Of course, the person was here illegally and does not have a driver's license, but that couldn't be brought up. That's neither here nor there. So not a citizen of these states, does not have a license to operate a motor vehicle. Again, like, neither here nor there in the case. the attorney went to college online, because this guy's an attorney, so he's able to do his due diligence. And he found out the law school went to was online. And this is what he does. He takes folks that are here illegally, mix their story up with the car had to be towed, but it wasn't towed. But now you talk to the doctor, make sure she's wearing a neck brace, and so on and so forth. And then they go after the insurance company to the tune of $2 million. And I'm always the same way, which I just look at them and go, why would you do this? Like, why would you be an attorney? I don't get it.
Can you imagine going to school for 4 years for college, then going for 3 more to law school? Then the most hellacious thing is studying for, taking and passing the bar, and then this is what you do. This is the sum total of your legacy.
And I know people go, oh, hey, there's good money. I get it. There's good money in human trafficking. There's good money in poaching ivory on rhino horns. There's good money in coyoting in illegals from San Salvador. There's good money in everything.
Good money to go pick up people from the caravans.
All right, but is there no moral? Is there no moral compass in you that goes, this is what, you know, what he's doing is a scam. It's a money grab. It's like these lawyers who represent the guy with the disability to go into your bathroom and tell you there's no towel bar, no grab bar on the shitter. But at a certain point, don't they have kids? Like, what do they tell their kids they do for a living? What is this? Like, my fantasy is I find these guys' parents and I just spit on the ground. I never stopped spitting. I just look at him and I spit on the ground and go, my God, did you fuck up? Jesus Christ, do you know, understand what your fucking adult kid does for a gut? Puh! Puh! You disgust me. You disgust me. If this kid had spontaneously aborted or better was stillborn so you could have that image in your head, wouldn't have to deal with this fuckstick who's ruining everyone else's life. What is going on? What did you teach this kid? What kind of parent are you? And then I'd spit again. I would yell at them until I stored up enough saliva to then spit again. And that cycle would never end because I wonder what the fuck is going on. Who are these people? Where are they coming from? I would kill myself if my son ended up this way. I would never stop apologizing to the world. Then I would commit Harry Carey like a Japanese soldier. I'd fall on a sword and I'd put it on YouTube. Jesus Christ.
Let me give you a little more grist for you here. That just this week, they announced, this California State Bar, that they think of, there's 190,000 active lawyers, right, in the state of California. They think as many as 19,000 may have unreported criminal activity. Can you believe that? That's 10%.
Well, that's what I was screaming at this lawyer, although I told him you'd looked into it. It's like, can your bar association not police itself against these guys? When people are talking about how much they hate lawyers, they're talking about these guys. And it's not a victimless crime. Everyone just pays more for their insurance because of these guys.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And they, every time they say you're going to pass the savings on to the consumer, it's a joke. And that's, but you know, the state bar has, you know, I sued them and presently involved as well. And it's always been kind of a trade association, and that was one of the big problems with it. And only recently, after when we were representing Senator Dunn, who was the executive director who was terminated, and then we sued them, had they then gotten rid of the old prosecutor trial, the head of trial counsel, and got rid of, they basically cleaned house because we started exposing what was going on there. And the fact that it was being operated illegally under the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, illegally in the sense that you couldn't be both a trade agent association, meaning, you know, out there to promote the practice of law, at the same time you're supposed to be self-regulating. That's never going to work. And you've seen it.
I could not do what Gloria Allred does for 8 seconds a year, much less a full-time job. I couldn't do it with a straight face. I'd just be, it's just my wiring. I'd be humiliated. Like, and don't get me wrong, I was a guy who made fun of Mountain Dew for 5 years, and then Mountain Dew offered me $50,000 to do a radio spot, and I said, when do you want me? Like, it's not.
Yeah, where do I have to report?
It's not about not liking money, and it's not about any of that. It's just, no one was being harmed in what I was saying, and I was upfront about it. Like, I'm like, hey, I talk shit about Mountain Dew, and now I'm doing a Mountain Dew commercial. But I couldn't do what she does. Well, you tell me more about it. First, I'll tell you about Penguin Random House Audio. Reasonable Doubt is brought to you by Penguin Random House Audio. Love a mystery series? Try listening to the audiobook. Main characters come to life while listening to the latest novels by Janet Ivanovich. And John Sanford. Another
Sanford. He does the whole Prey series, and he's great.
You can check up on Stuart Wood's Stone Barrington series before the next one comes out. Audiobooks, great way to keep up with your favorite series and be ready for the next book when it hits the stand. Yep. So you can say, I'm all caught up. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/series. For a free audiobook sampler by the aforementioned Janet Ivanovich and Randy Wayne White and John Sanford and more. So go to PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com LegalZoom.com/series. So I know you're in the middle of it with Gloria and Chris and all that. It's
also got one of the interesting things that came out in the last few hours has been the Qatari ice cube situation with Big Three, which has been fascinating. You know, we filed a lawsuit against two of the investors who were from Qatar, and then a little bit of digging and investigation turns out that there may be a connection to Trump Tower and the Qataris and this kind of geopolitical intrigue. And there's been quite a few articles written about it and people tweeting about it in the last couple of days. And so I've got that. We've got Kaepernick. I can tell you that by the time we're listening to this, I will have finished with Bob Kraft's deposition, which I'm looking forward to at the time I'm talking to you about this. But when people are listening to it, it will have already happened. And I think we've got one other GM who used to be a Hall of Fame quarterback who is also getting deposed this week. So it's been a busy 6 weeks to 2 months.
Bob Kraft, look forward to him wearing a collar and cuffs that do not match the general color of his shirt.
That's his thing. Jerry Jones also has that going on. They favor the pale, or what do you call that? Is it the Robin Eggs blue shirt with the white collar and the white cuffs?
That's rich guy material right there.
I mean, and if it's French, and you got to have a French cuff. You don't wear that shirt with the French cuff so that you can have the cuff links.
Right.
You don't have the barrel cuff with just the, I think cuff links are required there. If you really want to put a cherry on the top of this sundae, my friend Ben Brofman does this, you wear the collar pin. Have you ever worn the collar pin?
Oh no, I like it. I mean, that stuff for me is, there's weird things in life that seem like very un-Corolla-esque things, and growing up, the way I grew up, stuff like that. Look, here's where I come from. I've never told you this story, but I was just telling you I was attending an event with an attorney and many other people, and Daniel, who I've won, it was his event, one of the Man Show guys, Daniel Kelson, he got the nickname of Danny Two Sheets, and he got the nickname of Danny Two Sheets because he came out from New York. He was working on Letterman, and he came out to work on the Man Show many, many years ago, and he was staying with me. I just had a house up in the Hollywood Hills. It was my first house. I was kind of bachelor, and he was going to like stay on a fold-out sofa. And so here's how far away I am from a collar pin or cufflinks or a pocket square or a cummerbund or spats or any of these things. He called. I said, "Yeah, I'll make you the bed." Like, I folded out the sofa and I made him his bed. And then at a certain point, he came to me and he said, "Hey, where's the other sheet?" And I said, "You got a sheet. It's over the mattress." And he said, no, but the upper sheet. And I said, "What upper sheet?" And he said, "The beds have two sheets. They have the sheet on the mattress, like the fitted one, and then they have one above you." And I was like, they don't. And he's like, "Yeah, they have two sheets." And I was like, "Get the hell out of here. Two sheets. What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, no, I sleep with a sheet on top of me, and I put the blanket on top of that." I was like, "Hey, everybody, it's Danny Two Sheets. Look at this guy. He needs two sheets. He thinks he's the Sultan of Brunei." And everyone kept saying to me, "No, Adam, that's how it works. There are two sheets." And I was like, "I never heard of having two sheets." So I think I come from the wrong side of the sheets track. I never heard of all these. My dad never had a cop pin. My dad probably had a clip-on tie or something like that.
Oh, my God. That was one of the lessons that Paul Garagus taught his boys is there are certain immutable rules. The belt has to match the shoe leather. You have to know how to tie a tie, and you never wear a clip-on.
I've never tied a tie in my life. I do not know how to
tie a tie. Does your belt match your shoe leather?
Well, once I discovered the reversible belt, yes.
Okay, there you go. There's nothing wrong with there was no rule like 2A where you couldn't have a reversible belt.
When I taught traffic school, they required you wear a tie. And I had my girlfriend make it for me, and then I would slide it out like a noose, pull it over my head, and hang it up in the closet. And then the next Saturday, when it came time to teach traffic school again, I'd slide it back over my head like a noose, and it never came untied. So I'm sorry. Robert Kraft is, when people hear this, you already will have deposed him.
Correct.
And then you said a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback who's now a GM?
Yeah. You should.
Think Colorado.
That
was where my mind went, at least.
Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking about John Elway. Do you?
So both of those. You know, at a certain point, I think I'm going to go into, I hate to just speculate and give people kind of my musings on the air, but I really think that there is enough public interest in this that it shouldn't be under the protective order. I really think that at a certain point, some of this stuff needs to be public because some of this stuff is astonishing to me, and I would love to talk about it and get people's reactions to some of the stuff that we're discovering.
Well, let's not
mention them.
Yeah, let's not get you in any trouble, but let's say, is it fair to say from many of the you've deposed already, and especially by the time people have heard this, the who's who of the NFL, all the biggest names, not in uniform, but all the biggest names in the NFL, owners and GMs and so on, coaches and so on and so forth.
Right.
Yes.
Commissioner and everything.
Commissioner,
else.
Everybody. So all the biggest of the biggest names. Would it be fair to say that your average American would have their mind blown by some of the things you've uncovered?
I think it's more than fair to say that people would probably not believe it and think we were just blowing smoke until they actually saw the transcript of things that have been said. It's almost like to the point where I turn to Ben with great frequency and say, am I in a bubble somewhere? Do I not understand? I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
Is this a glimpse behind the curtain of what multi-billion-dollar operations do and how they operate on a sort of daily basis?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, the most people's perception whether it's the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, although I think the NBA is in a separate class. I think that's a better run, at least from the outside, better run organization. But sometimes I think when you've got the revenues at a certain point, that there's a certain hubris that is built into the revenues, and that hubris allows you to operate at levels that if others saw what you were doing, if there was any transparency to it, to quote you, they'd have their minds blown.
Is this a fair statement? The Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft to Joe Sixpack, we think, well, these guys are doing battle on the gridiron and trying to beat one another. But is it a more accurate statement to say all the owners are all basically in the same tent, which is making tons of dough with the NFL, and there may be more cooperation, possible collusion with the owners versus what we see on the field, which is trying to hurt the other team?
Well, I think that a fair thing to say is that in my humble opinion, the NFL is more like the WWE than like traditional sport. I mean, or the WWF. It's more like wrestling once you get in and see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, so you may think Jerry Jones hates Bob Kraft, but in fact they end up at the same country club lighting cigars with $100 bills.
I will confess to having been charmed by Jerry Jones, and at the same time astonished. So you know, and I will give him his props. That practice facility there in Gary, what's the name of that place? I stayed at his hotel there. It's literally right next to the practice field in Texas, and it's beautiful. They've done a beautiful job.
They got a facility over there. I've toured the stadium, but they've also built the whole practice stadium too, right?
Yeah, the practice stadium with a helipad. Yeah, Frisco, exactly. And the restaurant, hotel, a kind of a decorative field in the front of the place that's shaped or the surrounded by a U-shaped or horseshoe-shaped buildings on top of it. I mean, it's a spectacular facility. But like I say, I mean, at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Is now, I imagine this probably didn't work that way with Al Davis. I imagine if the late, great Al Davis was still around, you wouldn't say that it was like we sort of talk about. Or is this a fair analogy? You tell me if this is a fair analogy, Al Davis excluded. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tease this analogy, and then you tell me if the NFL owners, if this isn't a fair analogy after I tell you about hymns. 65% of men start losing their hair by 35 for hymns.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. And thanks to science, baldness can now be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat the hair loss, generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last, which costs hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. So if you're a younger guy and the hair's starting to thin out a little, it is tough to get it back. Let's stop it in its tracks. Or you need some skin care, sexual wellness, and more. And you want the good stuff, you go to forhims.com/doubt, forhims.com/doubt. Here's the analogy before we head on home, Mark Garagus. I've often said, and we've often said that in the family law world, it's my lawyer against your lawyer. That's how it appears. But then they both end up at the same country club on Saturday playing golf, right?
It's exactly right.
Would you say exactly that that's right. A good analogy for the NFL owners?
I think it's perfect. And I've become quite close to a person in the NFL who knew him well and sees what happens today, and they do not disagree with that.
And, yeah, maybe Al Davis didn't end up at that country club, but the rest of the guys, at the end of the day, they're just rich white guys, and everyone's trying to go in for a status quo, want to hang on to what they – let's not rock the boat. We got a good thing going here. We're printing money.
It's exactly right. I wish that I could get into it, but you know, this will be one of the grounds for having the protective order lifted. Will be the overwhelming, reasonable doubt fan base that wants to hear what actually is happening.
Nay, demands as taxpayers.
Exactly.
All right, Mark. Aladdin Theater in Portland, second show available. That'll be June 9th. We'll be doing a live stand-up special there. We'll be filming it. And live shows everywhere. You can go to adamcarolla.com. Also, check out Small Town Murder at Podcast 1. This delves into the small towns across America and the murders and the grisly crimes and all the stuff you guys love. And you can check that out at Podcast 1 and Apple Podcasts. Mark, what do you got?
I've got opening next weekend the beautiful Capri Hotel in Southampton in the Arroyo restaurant. So even if you don't want to stay there, come by, have a meal. Mediterranean food there, Grand Central Station. We've got Prova Pizzeria, and soon to open in the Moxie Hotel in Times Square, Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, right, beach views from every single room, and obviously the Palm Springs. Go down there and air it out.
We look forward to seeing you in the flesh as soon as you're done saving the world. And until next time, this is Andrew Kroll for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.